With the Lord's gracious help, we turn this afternoon to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The Epistle to the Romans, chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. How good is the Lord in providing for us that which is able to make us wise unto salvation. But the Scriptures from beginning to end are meant for our edification, that we might learn thereby. And so no Scripture is outdated or become redundant. The Old Testament Scriptures to which the Apostle is referring here, he and the other Apostles used, as indeed the Lord Jesus Christ would often refer to them. And in the previous verse, that this is taken from the book of Psalms, which directly relate to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are some remarkable verses in the Old Testament. We think of Psalm 22, which speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the many messianic psalms. We think of the prophecy of Isaiah and that wonderful chapter 53, which describes something of the life of Messiah and all that he would pass through. We have in the book of Daniel, Daniel 9, a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have it in the book of Zechariah, in the book of Malachi. We have it really in every book that they set forth something of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can find in the Old Testament, in one sense, the whole gospel. His birth, his upbringing, his life, his ministry, his suffering, his persecution, his opposition, his death, his resurrection, his glorification. And these are confirmed in the New Testament. And so the old is set forth in the new, and the new is set forth in the old. And it becomes one volume. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. We have in the Old Testament many references to God's ancient saints and all that they passed through in life's journey. Consider, for instance, the life of Job. Job was an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. But nevertheless, his pathway was to become one of tremendous trial. And when you read through the book and find out how that which he had, and doubtless in some measure prized, was quickly taken from him. his children. Parents don't expect to outlive their children, but it's sometimes the case. But if we have a family of children, for all the children to be taken from us would be an exceeding difficult portion of our life, an opposition hard to be overcome, the spoiling of our goods. Job's wealth really was taken away in a very short time by those invaders who took his livestock, who desecrated his fields and left him a man in poverty. But then on top of this, Satan comes and touches him so that his body is racked with sores from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. What abject misery that man must have been in as he took and scraped them as best he could. No modern medicines, nothing to relieve the pain apart from natural things. And then his wife says that he should curse God because of all these things that have come upon him. And would it not be reasonable to look to the hand of God, who is the giver of all things, and therefore he is the taker of all things? In him we live and move and have our being. God is the first cause of all things here below, because he is the eternal one. But Job shows remarkable patience. And James takes up this theme in his epistle. Remember the patience of Job. What patience he had to endure these things. But then, as if this was not sufficient, friends come with the purpose of comforting him. But indeed, they prove to be no comfort whatsoever. They charge the man falsely. They accuse him of things that he has not done. And this in itself must have cast him down. All these things surely were against him. But what supported him? I believe the word of God supported him through all these trials. That he endured persecution as believing in God, trusting in his word, waiting upon his purposes, recognizing the hand of God in his trials. And if God has brought him into those trials, he knew that it must be God that will eventually bring him through. And so he proved it to be true. He proved God to be on his side, and the end of Job was better than the beginning. He proved that all things work together for good to those that love God. Abraham was a man who was called of God, and he had many trials in his life to deal with, and yet he looked to the promises of God. And there are many precious promises to be found in the word of God scattered throughout that are richly for the benefit of God's people, that they can plead the promises of a God who never changes, who is ever faithful to his word, who ever fulfills whatever he has spoken. Then we might look at the life of Joseph. Joseph, a young man who was given dreams by God. And he relates these dreams to his brethren, and they hate him for it. Hasn't this always been the case? We saw it this morning with Paul in his preaching. He preached the truth of God's word. He backed it up with Old Testament scriptures. He quoted many different verses to support his evidence. And yet they hated him for it. And if we stand upon the truth of God's word, we will be hated for it. What patience then Joseph needed to accept these things. And think of the hatred of the brethren when they sold him into Egypt. They sold him to a band of men of which they could never know what the end of Joseph would be. Very solemn thing to do. It is as though they had murdered the child. And yet it seems as though they had no thought or cares concerning it. Then Joseph is tried in the house of his Egyptian master. And what patience he needed to resist the unwanton advances of his master's wife. What patience he needed in jail to accept the hand of God, not knowing all this time the purpose of those dreams and how they would come to pass in due season. But again, he rested upon the word of God. He rested upon the promises that were given him in those dreams. He patiently waited for the time of his deliverance. And you know that there were those setbacks when he interpreted the dreams of the baker and the butler of the house of Pharaoh, and how he was forgotten by them. But there came a time. And God is the orchestrator of all things. Nothing happens except by his permission. And he brings upon Pharaoh a dream which severely troubles the mind and conscience of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh wants an answer to his dilemma. And so he calls all the magicians, the soothsayers, the enchanters of Egypt, but not one of them is able to interpret his dream. Why? Because God was not with them. God was not in it. But God was in the whole business. Because suddenly, the man remembers what Joseph had interpreted in the prison those years ago, how this young Jewish man had rightly interpreted the dream, and therefore Joseph is called for in a haste. And Joseph is able to give an interpretation to the dream, really for the salvation of Israel, not only Israel, but of God's people. Then we might consider David. When Samuel came and anointed David to be the king over Israel, David would have to pass through many dangers before he took the crown. His enemy against him. Patience when it was in his hand to destroy his enemy, but he did not lift his hand against the Lord's anointed. And so through many years of great difficulty, being a vagabond and a stranger, nevertheless the time came when David was crowned king over Judah, and then 7 years later crowned king over all Israel. And so we could go on with many, many illustrations of men of old in the Old Testament scriptures who were given patience to wait upon God. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And again, remember, because God never changes, God is the same today as ever he was. We live in different times, in a different generation from these men of old. But they had their peculiar difficulties. Noah, in the building of the ark, think how many years he was in building, not knowing, except that God had told him that he was to drown the world, but not knowing when that day would come. And yet, against the opposition that he met with, the patience that he was given to continue building that ark. No doubt there were many slants cast against him by the people who considered him a strange person to do this when it had never rained upon the earth. Yet he rested upon the word of God. He considered God to be faithful in his word. That we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. These things, then, we can say with great assurance, were written for us. They were not written that they might be forgotten. They were not written that they might be used for one particular generation. They were written that we might be instructed by them. Because we each have a course to pursue, a life to live. And it is through much tribulation that we shall enter into the kingdom. Then we need that God-given patience to pursue our course, to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what a course it is that we have to take. No man is a stranger to troubles. Man is born unto them as the sparks fly upward. We all have our difficulties that come into our lives, and many of these difficulties are peculiar unto us. And we may feel the peculiarity of them, that surely no man has come into these things before us. But when we search the scriptures, and how good it is that we should search the scriptures, that we should search them thoroughly through and through. I know of people that will not read the Old Testament scriptures. They feel that they are redundant and all that we need is to be found in the New. Well, I've found by experience that the Old Testament scriptures, as much interpret the New Testament scriptures as vice versa. Yes, we have more enlightenment in the day in which we live, but it doesn't negate our need to study the scriptures from Genesis through Revelation. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Oh, that we might learn from them. That we might learn this patience that the Old Testament saints also had. How easy it is when we come into times of opposition that we fight against them. And we murmur against God. You see, that's another thing the Old Testament scriptures teach us. The children of Israel had to go through the wilderness. God could have taken them by an easy route, straight from Egypt into the promised land, and it would have been days rather than years. But because of their bad manners, they were suffered to travel 40 years round and round that hot, dry, arid country before they reached their destination. But many perished in the wilderness. And why did they perish? Well, the scriptures tell us because of unbelief. They did not believe God. They did not believe that he would bring them safely to their desired haven. There are many in our day who seem to begin, and to begin well, upon the Christian pathway. They are, though, exactly like the Galatians. The Galatians who were soon turned aside, either by the cunning sleight of man, that is, through false teachers who taught them another gospel which was no gospel at all, or by oppositions and contradictions and persecutions. These things soon showed that their religion was a religion of their own making, that they did not have the foundation that would stand every storm and stand at last. But the Lord's people learn through these experiences that they pass through that God is in control. It may seem, as Jacob said, all these things are against me. And I speak from experience. I've come to that place where it seemed that all these things were against me. Number of times in my life, such frustrating circumstances, utterly beyond my control, could see no ending of them and just felt miserable because of them. And yet the Lord instructed. He taught me in this, that we cannot make a way for ourselves. There are things that come into our lives which are completely beyond our control, that we are unable to cope with. And also, we see no light of day in the future. Things may come bit by bit, and we may perceive their coming, and again not be able to prevent them. Or things may come suddenly upon us, and we are bewildered as to where they come from. But nevertheless, these things come, And they are indeed a trial to us. They try our faith, they try our patience, they try the very core of our religion. But those things which cannot be shaken will remain. There are things which are shaken. And very often in those trials, we lose our carnal expectations. We lose our natural hope. But we have a hope in the Lord that he will be gracious unto us and will bless us. Will lift up the light of his countenance upon us and grant us peace. Now, trials are of different depths of degree, and they are different lengths of time. Sometimes we may come into a very short but a very sharp trial. But because it's short, we bit by bit recover from it. At other times, our trials may be greatly protracted. They may last a long time, even years or decades. They may be sharp and long. They may be gentle and short. Whatever the Lord's will or purpose, that we will be brought to patience. If your character is like mine, impatient, we have hard lessons to learn. But the Lord is a great master instructor. He knows how to teach us. He knows what to bring upon us, which will have the best effect. And so, little by little, and sometimes it seems as though we need patience in so many trials coming upon us because we do not learn from the first one. Because we do not learn at first, there comes a second, a third, and a fourth until we do learn. We have to learn to wait upon God, to wait his time and purpose. To be enabled to say, thy will be done on earth by me, even as it is done in heaven by the angels and by the host of God. Do we know what it is to be brought into patience? To patiently wait for the purposes of God to be fulfilled, for the promises to be effected. You see, when God promises, he will perform. But we may have to wait for that promise. Now look at Abraham. He had a promise that he would have a son, and through that son, his family will be as the sands upon the seashore, innumerable, or the stars that are in heaven that cannot be counted. And yet, life went on. The days, the months, and the years pass by, and there is no child. Has the promise failed? Sarah is now up in age, past the natural time of bearing children. So they take it in their own hands. What a solemn event that is when he takes Sarah's maid to produce a child. God severely punishes him for that. Although the father of the faithful, if we do wrong, God will reprimand us. And the following events prove that he made a mistake. And yet it was all in God's purposes. There are many things we don't understand, but all things work for the glory of God. Now, when Sarah is in extreme old age, and Abraham himself 100 years old, the promise is effective. And they're told, according to the time, Sarah shall bear a son. Oh, what an impossibility. And Sarah laughs, as well she may, when you consider, some of you, if you think of your grandmother, that she should bear a child in her old age, it would be laughable, impossible. But you see, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And doubtless those 9 months that Abraham waited, he could see the unfolding of God's purposes, that Isaac should be born. And it was to Isaac that the promise was given. Not he that was born of the bondwoman, but he that was born of the free woman, a type of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So patience was tried, and yet patience was given. And this is a great blessing, that we can go to God in prayer and we can ask that he will give us patience in our trials and tribulations, in sickness. Some of you may know what it is to be extremely ill, to be stricken with some affliction. How we need patience in these things. But it is in God's purpose with his people to grant them patience. And although at times they may feel very impatient, yet as the scheme unfolds, so they will look back and see how patient they really were in waiting God's time. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience — there is a purpose in patience then. And there are two things that are recorded here: a comfort, and then through this, through patience and comfort, hope. How often do we read in the old obituaries of those in great trouble who turned to the Word of God and found the very Word of comfort that they stood in need of? God is the God of all comfort. And this is why we need to study the Scriptures, to read the Bibles through and through, to find these words which comfort in every time of trouble. There is a word suitable to meet every emergency, a word that will comfort our hearts in the most severe distresses, because we know that it is the Word of God, and that it is written there precisely for that purpose, that it might be a comfort to God's people. One thing we have to say of all the Old Testament saints: that every one of them prevailed. Every one overcame at last. everyone reach glory. Everyone is present with the Lord. So they accomplished that which they sought after. Not one of them failed. Not one of them was cut off. Not one of them missed the mark. But every one of them was safely landed in fair Canaan's land. And if they, through all their troubles, and you can read of Daniel in the lion's den, of the three Hebrew children in the fiery burning furnace, you can read of Jonah in the bellies of the whale, of the belly of the whale. You can read of all these various men who, through severe things, yet overcame at last. Why? Because they trusted in the Word of God. And shall it be any different for us? If we put our trust in God, if we look to the Word of God as being the definite decree, a word that cannot be altered, it cannot be undermined, it cannot be turned aside, it cannot be outwritten, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is our great comfort, that that word ever stands, and stands upon the very veracity of God in Jesus Christ. Those promises which in Christ are yea and forever amen. Then whenever we come into trouble, it is a great blessing that we can turn to the scriptures and find a word of consolation, a word that will put strength within us, that we're able to overcome the difficulties of life, whatever they might be. And I do not exaggerate. There is a word to meet every extremity, a word that will do poor sinners good, a word that will lift us up, will strengthen us in the trials that we pass through, a word which will eventually overcome all things, a word of comfort. Especially as it relates to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in the wonderful ministry that he pursued while here upon this earth, granting again an understanding. These were written for our learning. The New Testament scriptures also are written for our learning, that we may learn from them the way of salvation, through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And that it shows us that it's all by grace, that we deserve nothing but eternal hell, but we are given the comfort and expectation of heaven. When we come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are saved. And it is a great salvation. What a mercy that these scriptures open up to our understanding the very way to heaven. That they are through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. So that we need not look in any other direction. We may not look to worldly writings, because they will not help us. They grant us no comfort. But we look to the Word of God. It instructs us how we are to live our life upon this earth, that it is to be a life of faith in the Son of God. That Jesus becomes the one thing needful. it becomes our great desire. Because if we have Christ, we have everything. We have heaven at last. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Might have hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Our hope must be in God, because he is the God of hope. We have those words in Titus that show the attitude or the direction of God's people, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. If our hope is fixed upon the person and work, the finished work of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, it is indeed a glorious hope. A hope that will never make ashamed. A hope that will never be disappointed. A hope that will be fulfilled at last. Though it may be, with some of the younger ones, many, many years in the future. In one sense, we hope it is. But if we have that hope in Christ, that he will not cast us off, although we are sinners, that he has paid the price of our sins and brought in for us an everlasting righteousness, and we can rest upon him. We can rest our hope there. It puts strength within us to pursue the course, however long, however difficult that course may be. That hope can never be taken from us. Once we have a good hope through faith in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that hope remains forever. Until, at last, when we leave the confines of this world, our hope will be fully fulfilled, and our hope will be needed no more. So hope is for this life, to hope upon the mercies of God. Now in the Scriptures, as you read through them, you will find that God is a merciful God, that he has mercy for countless thousands, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is the God of hope. What compassion he showed to the various cases upon the face of this earth. Look at the case of the young man that was being taken from the city of Nain to his final resting place there, dead upon the bier. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes and touches, and he's made alive. Think of Mary Magdalene, one of the most wicked women that the Bible relates, and yet through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ she is made a pure saint. And so you can look at the many cases, those that had languished long, like the man at the waters of the well, and the woman taken in adultery. These are all there as examples for us. whatever our state or condition may be, it's met in the scriptures. Some people may think, oh, my case is so singular, so personal, so peculiar, surely that there's nothing in the Word of God to help me. Well, search the scriptures. See that it meets every case and every condition. Not one is left out. Everyone may find help and find hope here. You may feel of all people most miserable. You may feel to be so far off from God as it lies within the realms of impossibility. But the scriptures teach us that all manner of sins may be forgiven us, and that we can be brought from the ends of the earth even unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the prodigal son. He had to lose everything that he might gain everything. This may be your case, or you may be tenderly led along like a Timothy of old, brought up in the scriptures, taught the word of God, and in a particular season, the word applied to meet your case. And what will it do? It will bring you to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he's called the God of hope. Because our hope is to be found in him alone. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. You know, those hymn writers knew something by faithful experience. They passed through many dark places, but they came to the glorious light at last. And if you're in the unbelief of darkness, pray that God shall be your light, that he will bring you forth, and you will see that there is no such thing as to be without hope. You know, there are people in this world that live without God and hope in the world. But those that have a gravity concerning their own condition need not be hopeless. There's the old saying, while there is life, there is hope. Indeed, that is true. Because in the grave, there will be no more hope. And so, while we are living, let us call upon the name of the Lord. For the Lord is very gracious, very compassionate, of tender mercy, that he might look upon our case and deliver us from the wrath that is to come. That through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. We may have hope of heaven, of Christ, of eternal glory. Isn't that something to be hoped for? Amen.